This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
All right, let me try to summarize this for everybody as you've been paying attention or maybe weren't paying attention because there was a lot of numbers and a lot of information thrown out there. I think the mayor does a really good job as a communicator. I really do. And I think the way she described it actually was the most concise. But basically, we now have an agreement between the team and, of course, the city. Attending this press conference today were Josh Harris and the mayor and the commissioner of the league, Roger Goodell. As I mentioned earlier in the show, for those that don't know, Roger Goodell grew up here because his father was in government, and he went to RFK and went to Skins games at RFK. In the crowd were Dan Quinn and Adam Peters and John Riggins and Daryl Green and Doug Williams. I'm sure I'm missing a few. Mark Seagraves mentioned, or somebody did, four of the current 12 council members were there. And you heard, you know, occasional references and thanks to them in advance of what they hope the council will do, which is approve this deal. So overall, this is basically, as the mayor laid out, a $3.6 billion project to not just build a stadium, but to totally transform this 180-acre blighted parcel of land on the banks of the Anacostia River. This will be the largest single investment in the city's history to do anything. The stadium that will be built will be a 65,000 or so seat stadium that will be what they call roofed, not domed now, it's roofed, but it will be an indoor stadium. This is something we've talked about for a while, but that is an absolute given. And the reason that's a given is because they want to be able to maximize year-round usage of the facility. They want to be able to get a Super Bowl to D.C. The commissioner was actually asked about the Super Bowl by John Keim, and he said, what are the odds? And he said, they have increased dramatically, which they have. Within 10 years, we're going to have a Super Bowl in D.C. You know, 2032, 2033 Super Bowl in D.C. So, $3.6 billion project in which the team is fronting $2.7 billion of that $3.6 billion investment. Now, the rest of it is made up with, you know, $500 million towards infrastructure from the actual city itself. All right, the $500 million, they talk about horizontal infrastructure towards stadium development. You know, that's apparently money that they already have. In what did she call that fee? It's leveraging dedicated funds from what they call the sports facilities fee. So the district doesn't need to make any cuts from the city's operating budget. This will all be included in what she called FY26, fiscal year 2026. So DC's government's going to invest $500 million for stadium horizontal and non-vertical costs, but they don't have to do anything. That money is there. The district will facilitate parking development using a $175 million bond, which will be funded by what they call in-stadium activity once the stadium is operating. So that will be a mix of things, which, by the way, will probably include PSLs to some degree, personal seat licenses. Get ready. I'm telling you this right now. It's okay, because I think there will still be demand and we're 5 years out. But it's not going to be a cheap ticket. Now, maybe once you get the season ticket portion done, you know, depending on how good the team is, you'll be able to get in on the aftermarket for something that isn't super expensive. But PSL's personal seat licenses give you the right to purchase the season tickets. Ain't going to be cheap. Events DC is going to contribute $181 million for parking garages near the area. And then the district will invest $202 million for utilities, infrastructure, roadways, and some sort of transit study. In addition, $89 million will be invested in a sportsplex, meaning fields and sports recreational usage next to the stadium. There's going to be, you know, what's it going to look like around the stadium? Well, there's going to be several areas around the stadium. There's going to be a plaza where you have entertainment, festivals, etc. There's going to be a riverfront area for housing, retail, restaurants, etc. There's going to be a residential district, which will include a significant percentage. I think I read in the press release, 30% of affordable housing. And then that expanded recreational area where $89 million will go towards like a sportsplex with fields, etc. So $3.6 million with the team putting up $2.7 million, and the rest, the other $900 million roughly, put up by the city with current funds through partnerships with groups like Events DC and through taxpayer dollars. So what are the next steps? The next step is to get the city council to approve it. I can tell you that they need to move quickly. She had mentioned at one point that they needed to move quickly on this thing because they needed to know whether or not they needed to move on from this. And the team certainly needed to know whether or not they needed to go back to Maryland and move into something that could get them into a new facility by 2030. When will the city council vote on this? It's a good question. I don't know. But I would imagine it's got to take place in the next few months. You heard the mayor at the end there. I mean, she's got her pitch down. This is not about costs. This is about future jobs and revenue. Of course, that's the pitch. Now, where all of that future revenue comes from is consumers, from residents, and from things like whatever the stadium generates on game day or event day. I did not think we got an answer to personal seat licenses, but the majority of NFL stadiums do include personal seat licenses. I'm trying to think of where I read this morning, but I think I read that 20 of the 32 teams have them. And by the way, what they do is they dramatically increase the price of being a season ticket holder. You know, that cost can go from anywhere from like $1,500 to $6,000 or something like that. You know, and for premium, and that would be general admission seats, and for premium seats, much higher than that. The other thing we did not get, or we haven't gotten because we did cut out of there, but we'll find out at some point, is whether or not the team itself will relocate to that facility. I don't think they will because they didn't announce that. I wonder if their training, you know, their headquarters will remain in Ashburn. Remember, they own a lot of land now in College Park. So that kind of sums it up, I think. I'm sure I'm missing some pieces. But if you want to weigh in, 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. I think all of these things, typically when they get bogged down by people who don't understand revenue, and they're more fixated on costs. They're more fixated on costs to their constituents. Understood. They're in politics. But this is a big area of the city that currently is massively underutilized. And I'd love to see all of the detail about the projected revenue. I think I did read in the press release, it's a press release, that this thing will generate $4 billion plus, so it'll return. And you heard Josh Harris, you know, talk about the ROI on something like this. Sometimes it takes more advanced business people and bigger thinkers to get things like this done, but they have to be effective in communicating to people who may be less apt to understand the upside to things like this. Josh Harris is used to that, and the mayor is used to that. So we'll see what happens. But yeah, I thought it sounded, you know, well done and well communicated, especially by Mayor Bowser. You know, I don't know that that's Josh's strength, but he did a good job there today as well. His strength is building winning things, winning businesses, and already after a year and a half, a winning football team that may be on their way back to D.C., something that just flat out was not going to happen as long as the last owner, who was not very good at doing things, remained as owner. Fortunately, that didn't happen. All right, 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. Let me just see if there's anything else in my notes that I wrote down here of interest. You know, one thing that Josh Harris and Mark Eyne and Mitch Rales, they have referred to RFK as the franchise's spiritual home. It's going to be a new home. It's going to be a new team. I mean, there are a lot of things that have changed about this team. You know, that's the massive weight, you know, that was not going to be addressed today and won't be addressed because Josh Harris kind of already addressed it a couple of months ago. But a new stadium in terms of what that means for the team moving forward, I think it's a very good thing, and I think, you know, Roger Goodell mentioning a new generation is really, I think, the most, you know, important part of the whole mindset of new ownership, even though I'm watching this stage, and I know I would bet big money that certainly Josh Harris and Roger Goodell probably think it's silly that the team lost its name and would rather that name exist. I have no idea how the mayor feels. But the issue is over. I mean, I know we had the president address it last week, but this is about future revenues. And the people that are the future spenders for this football franchise and for the stadium and the area surrounding the stadium, it's less of an issue, much less of an issue for them. And in some cases, it won't even be thought of as an issue for many of the fans that attend events at that stadium, games included. All right, let's go to the phone lines. Let's start with my guy, Skip. Skip, go ahead. What do you say?
Kevin, as usual, great summary and perspective and overall, you know, communicating the dollars and the investment, and I actually think you did a better job than was done today on stage. I didn't hear them talk the numbers the way you did.
So well, a lot of she did. The mayor broke it down line item by line item, and I was waiting to kind of hear that. Right. She did a good job. And then they also put out a press release that had a lot of it detailed in there as well.
Okay. So you were reading from that.
I had it in front of me, yes.
Okay, great. Good job. I think that's very important. And for me, you know, they mentioned nostalgia, and it does bring nostalgia, obviously. I mean, this is another big moment for us, and we've had a few in the last year and a half. And going back to the first game I attended when I was a little kid, I think I've told you this before, it was the 72-43 game.
I don't remember that one, but yes,
okay,
72 to 41, still the highest scoring game in league history.
Still,
yeah,
and that was the very first game. I mean, I was a little kid; I didn't really understand, you know, a lot was going on, but it gave me a lasting impression of the team and the players and just the history that has endured for, you know, almost 60 years. And now I think the one thing I do like about the changes in the logo symbols and uniforms. The one thing I do like, Kevin, is the W.
The W, yep.
The W I do like. I think universally among fans who, you know, maybe don't like the name or those that want Redskins, I do think we all appreciate the W. And now that W actually means something if we have a stadium in Washington, D.C. So I think, you know, it kind of like feels like full circle. I mean, we had 30 years of really not being in our home, and now we're back. And that's the feeling that I have today after being a fan of this team for almost 60 years.
I just, you know, you've probably heard me say this a couple of times, including earlier in the show. What's going to be interesting is if we end up having the final 5 years in Landover be the most memorable by far in terms of the games, and who knows, maybe an NFC championship game or two played in that stadium before they move. And the bottom line is, as bad as that stadium was, and it was never good from day one, so much that we have to complain about it, but had they continued to win like they did at RFK, we wouldn't view it the same way. We wouldn't view it after all these years the same way. What came with the new location and leaving the old location was the Dan Snyder era, which was obviously an era that made us all want to get sick year in and year out. Thanks, Skip, as always, for the call. Let's go to our guy Joe in Springfield. Joe, let's go.
Hey, Kevin, what's going on?
What's up, Joe?
So, a little flashback for both of you and me. July of 2023, you and I are still breaking down at Navy Yard, new ownership. It's been almost 2 years, and I honestly feel like, you know, when this stadium is built, I'm not saying it's going to be like the old RFK when the stadium is rocking or something, but when we have that first game there in 2030, it's going to send chills down for all of us, and we're back, man. Who would have thought this was going to happen? We never thought it was going to happen after we left here in 1996, but we're back, man, and it's going to be great, and we believe, man. Thank you, Josh. Thank you, Mayor Bowser. It's real, man. And words can't describe it. I'm at a loss for words. I mean, I don't know how to describe it. I mean, will the stadium be shaken? Who knows? And I have a feeling it's going to be loud for real. Yeah, we're back, man. Let's do this.
Thanks, so, Joe. Appreciate it. This from Richard. Richard writes, you know, it's a long note. I'll just paraphrase it. He's like, what was missing over the years was a team that felt like a Washington, D.C. team. That's back. I disagree with that. This was always Washington, D.C.'s team, regardless of where it was playing. Just like, you know, it's the Giants are New York's team and the New York metro area's team, even though they played in Jersey forever. And there are plenty of other examples. The 49ers in Santa Clara, Dallas in, you know, Irving to begin with, which was more of a suburb of Dallas. But anyway, the point being, it was always DC's team. It will feel great, but it's not. Josh Harris said something too, which is a little bit of a change of direction. I just wanted to answer that real quickly. Josh Harris said at one point, he goes, this is nostalgic, but it's not about nostalgia. And he said it's about a good business decision for both the city and for us, and a very strong ROI, return on investment, that will create, you know, incredible opportunities for jobs and for revenue growth, and really to take an area of the city that has not been, or that parcel of land for sure, which has been an eyesore, and turn it into something spectacular. Those of us that are old enough remember what Chinatown was before Abe Pollin built that arena downtown. It was an eyesore. It was a difficult area. It wasn't necessarily a safe area. And it was really the beginning of a lot of neighborhood growth throughout the city. Gentrification, whether you approve of it or not, created these neighborhoods which have turned into be massive job opportunity and revenue generators for the city. And this area will hopefully do the same thing. I don't have the actual, I'd love to see what it looks like in terms of what they're projecting future revenues. But it sounds like it was a good deal for both. Now, the team will, from my understanding, own a lot of the surrounding residential and retail. So there will be beyond tickets and PSLs and concessions, et cetera, which I think, you know, the concession breakdown, I'm not exactly sure how that works, actually, because I think the city gets parking and some of that as well. But, they will certainly end up, I think, doing well with this return. But keep in mind, the upfront investment of $2.7 billion from the team is a lot more expensive than what they would have, what they would have needed out of pocket in Landover. Let's go to Ian. Ian, go ahead.
Yeah, on the D.C. neighborhood thing, I totally agree. Chinatown, and you look at the Navy Yard with the Nat Stadium, and then an offshoot of that, the Wharf with the Anthem. Yeah, I totally agree, and I think this will be in that ilk, if you will. It'll totally revive. It'll give another concert venue, another Final Four, Super Bowl, et cetera. But the overall ethos is, this is amazing. I mean, I don't know, even the NIMBYs and the city council, I don't know how anybody could be against this, because they're putting up a lot of their money, which is obviously a big point of contention a lot of times. And it's a place that's already there. It's not like they're going to have to tear down houses to do it. This is going to only uplift the part of the city. I think this will get done really smoothly. The city council saw what happened with Chinatown and Navy Yard, et cetera. I think this is a win. I totally agree with you on the name thing. This is just, that chapter is just closed, and everything is moving forward. The team
I didn't
winning.
Say that. You just put words into my mouth that I did not speak.
Sorry. So let me rephrase. I think, and have thought for a long time, the name issue is closed, and you're hearing it over and over. Commander means something. We're the Commanders. This, that, the other. I think now that the stadium deal is kind of done, I think they're just,
I think you're out of your mind if you think it's over. I think you are so detached from a significant percentage of this fan base if you think it's over. What I have emphasized, and maybe you agree with this, is the future of the franchise is a younger demographic. And for them, the issue isn't as significant, and they are the much greater lifetime revenue value customer to the team, and by the way, to the city, because they have a lot more life to live, and so they care less about that issue. But if you think that this issue is over, you haven't been paying attention at all.
So
you're certainly living in a world that I'm not familiar with.
So number one, I totally agree with you on the younger portion of the fan base. We agree there. My point to you is, you've had Mark Ein on, you've had multiple statements by Josh Harris, Josh Harris's wife, the ownership group, Mitchell Rails, et cetera, that have talked multiple times about the Redskins aren't coming back. So we agree on that, right?
Yes, I agree with that, even though we have a wild card, and his name's President Trump. But I do agree with you. I don't think it's coming back. But what's your point on that? Of course they're saying that. Do you think that they don't recognize how big of an issue it is with the majority of their fan base still?
So this is where you and I do part ways a little bit. So I'm not saying it's not an issue, and regardless of how many fans or current fans or historic fans view the name, we can agree it's a larger issue for some than others. What I'm saying is, if we know the old name isn't coming back, what is the juice or the is it worth it to change the name again to something that will create consternation again?
I want to sum it up and I want to move on because it's not about the name today. Two different conversations. The complexity of going to something else and their ability to sort of sidestep that issue because of 12 wins, two road playoff games where they won 60 minutes from the Super Bowl is different from the issue which I'm discussing, which is what percentage of fan base, current and past, think that this is an issue and want the name changed. It's a significant majority, and their own internal surveys show that. Now, again, and I've said this over and over again, there's no easy solution if Redskins isn't available. We agree on that. Yeah. Okay.
Exactly.
Let me move on. I want to get some other callers in here, and Ben's going to join us so we can go back to the draft from over the weekend. Let's go to Hayden. Hayden, go ahead.
Well, Kevin, certainly no fan of Mayor Bowser, but I got to give her credit. This is a great deal for the city.
Yeah.
It's going to revitalize that area. But is this the death of outdoor football in D.C.? Has that been confirmed?
It's going to be a domed, or what they're referring to as a roofed stadium, but it's not retractable. Retractable is a much greater expense. This is going to be a covered stadium, yes.
Yeah, well, that is the one negative. I mean, we're watching the NFL become the Arena League before our eyes.
It
is what it
is. It is what it is. I mean, when you spend $3.6 billion to build these things, you can't have them available for just 8 home games or 9.
No, I get it. This is a great deal for the city. He's putting up his own money. It's going to be a first-class facility. It's a part of town that we're all familiar with that needs to be revitalized desperately. It's not going to be the same experience as you guys remember from your glory days.
No.
It's going to be a totally different one. But for the future of this city, this is a fantastic day to get them back inside of the district. I mean,
yep.
And let's be honest, Kevin, the fact that they've got the quarterback fell in their lap will make it a heck of a lot easier to make it a much more grand opening when they open the facility in 2030.
No doubt. Thanks, Hayden. Appreciate it. Let's go to Ross. Ross has been on hold. Ross, thanks. Go ahead.
Long time, no talk, Kevin. What's good in the hood?
Well, you just heard it. The RFK looks like, we're within one or two final steps away from it being a reality.
Haven't been this excited since like 20 years ago. I lost something that I'll never be able to get back, but we're not here to talk about that. Real quick before I get to the stadium, man, I'm happy for my boy Gabe Taylor. I hope everything works out with him. But I think if Snyder was owning the team, they probably would just give him a 53-man spot. But anyways, yeah, I was talking to Max, man, and I try to tell people all the time, I'm saying it's going to be a dome stadium, and they think it's going to be what we had at the RCA Dome, the Metro Dome, down in New Orleans. I'm like you mentioned, it's going to be a roof stadium, but it's going to be something that's going to be year-round. I remember when Josh Harris was about to buy the team, you had a guy from Philly on. You had him on before the NFC Championship game. Couldn't stand that guy. He's like, oh, Harris is all about the money. If you have an opportunity to make as much money as possible, why would you not take that opportunity? I think he's going to do a real good job of developing the land around the stadium. And I already gave my wife my 5 years notice. I said when that stadium opens and the 2030 season kicks off, Washington's going to play at the Indianapolis Stadium because I'm a scheduled guy just like you. They're scheduled to play him in 2030. And then me and my buddy, who's not that much younger than you, Kevin, we're going to be up there, man. We got to be there for that season opener. It's got to happen. Whenever it is, we're going to be there. This is probably one of the biggest moments as a fan since I've been alive. And last time they won a Super Bowl, I was just barely alive. But your opinion, man, what can they do with that stadium or the development around it for you, Kevin, as a resident, that would make you really, like, mad excited? And before I hop off, I'm not trying to bring up the name. Just go back to the Washington football team uniforms. I'm cool with the helmet.
I think they're going to do something with the uniforms.
I don't care about the name anymore.
I think they're going to do something with the uniforms. Thanks, Ross, for the call.
Please.
Appreciate it. I think they're going to do something with the uniforms eventually. Who knows? We might get something on that with something this year. We'll see. I don't know. I mean, in terms of what they need to do, I trust them. I'd love an area, a new area in town that ends up being a cool area. I think somebody mentioned earlier, maybe it was Ian, whether it's Navy Yard or or Chinatown, or you know, the Wharf. I mean, all of you know, all of the areas. This is a much bigger plot of land than what we're talking about, because it's a much bigger stadium and a much bigger you know, acreage parcel of land, 180 acres. So it's going to be, it'll be great. But you know, I keep thinking about this, and I'm like, it's going to be 2030. We have five football seasons to get through before that. And we'll get updates on how it's going, and there will be pictures, and there will be certainly when RFK gets raised, when it gets taken down, that will be a story. When they break ground on the new stadium, all of that stuff will be cool in the moment. But in the meantime, what we really like, I think, I really like, games, seasons. And we got five more of those before they'll play in this new stadium. But still, it's nice to know that eventually that's where they will be. All right. If you're on hold, stay there. We've got a line open if you want to weigh in, 301-230-0980. Ben just texted me, and it looks like they're getting Josh Harris in sort of a group opportunity to interview him. So he may not be available. We'll see. If you want to weigh in on the stadium announcement earlier this morning with Mayor Bowser, Roger Goodell, and Washington team owner Josh Harris, 301-230-0980. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980 and the team980.com.